Hey baby, here we are. You're here. I'm here. We don't need anything stupid like theme music. We've got each... Oh, you want? That's all you're here for. You want the theme music. You don't want me... run the theme music. Just run it, run it.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, says theme, a trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, it's so good to see you. I've got to say, I say it every time, and you're all like, oh, you're just saying it. I'm not just saying it. You look fabulous. You look glorious. You look... I've run out of words, okay? I only know two. Fabulous, glorious. Very good. There you go. That's the third one. You look very good. I'm going to start with the interactive bit. Here it comes. Hey, how you doing? Good. No, what are you drinking there? Nice. So, should we get on with the show? Okay, buddy. Here we go. How was that one? Pleasant, I thought. Okay, so a couple of things before we get started. First up, a while ago, earlier this year, I recommended the Christmas Alphabet podcast, and we also had the host, Wayne Clark, on the show, where he talked about what it's like being a pastor at Christmas time, and each episode was a letter of the alphabet, and he talked about all the things beginning with that letter in that episode, and he's just reached the last one. It came out last week. I listened to it on Wednesday. That was Z. I expect you already knew the last letter of the alphabet was Z, but if you didn't, you've learned something. Yeah, and it was fantastic, and it was just a great show. If you haven't listened to it yet, then you can binge the whole series. And if you want to start like a couple of days before the start of December, you could have one a day all the way up till Christmas Eve. So check it out, the Christmas Alphabet podcast. Now, apparently we haven't seen the last of the show. I think there's going to be a couple of episodes, specials that he said he's talking about doing. And he's got other plans, I think, for the new year. But I want to say hi to Wayne. Thank you for a fantastic podcast. And I highly recommend it to everyone. The second thing I want to say is, I don't know if you remember, but two or three episodes ago, I was telling you that I've still got a poinsettia that lasted all the way from last year, but it's all green, there's no red on it. And I was saying, you know, I hope it turns red again this year. Well, I got an email from Christy Easter, which is a very festive surname, and she said, I heard you mention on one of your recent episodes that you have a poinsettia from last Christmas. Congratulations for keeping it alive. You mentioned hoping it would bloom again, so I thought I'd pass along some information on how to make that happen. It says the poinsettia needs to be in complete, continuous, uninterrupted darkness for 14 hours and then in bright light for 10 hours each day for 2 months in order for it to rebloom. Now, I haven't got 2 months. I've got about, well, a month and a bit. So we're going to start trying that. We're going to put it in a separate room which won't get any light in the evenings, and hopefully come Christmas it will start to turn a bit red. We'll see what happens. I will keep you updated, you lucky people. But thank you so much, Christy, for sending that through. Being a gardener, of course, I already knew that. I definitely knew it, and that's something that I knew, but yeah, I knew it anyway. That's my point. But thank you, Christy, for telling me something that I definitely already knew. Now, the third thing I want to talk about, just quickly, I haven't heard from him this year, but I want to mention Dan Carlson from Burley Boards. And I don't know if you remember, if you listened last year, if you didn't, I don't know. But Dan sent me a fantastic chopping board, and that's what he does. He makes wooden chopping boards, among other things. He's got a website, it's burleyboardshop.com. He's also on Facebook. If you want to check out his stuff, it is such quality workmanship. Now, the reason I'm mentioning it now is because I think if you want to get anything custom made before Christmas, you're probably going to have to contact him now. And I really do think this is the perfect gift for anyone you know. Pretty much anyone you know. He's got so much wonderful stuff on there. But if you know someone who's a foodie, then they would love one of these chopping boards, which is a perfect presentation piece. And the fact that it is handcrafted by, a real craftsman. And also, he's the total Christmas podcast workshop elf. So there's that going for him as well. I think anyone would be overjoyed to receive one of his items. So yeah, check out his shop. Like I say, he hasn't contacted me this year. He's not asking me, but I thought I'd mention it because he sent me this wonderful chopping board that my wife and I absolutely love. And it's just, it's a thing of beauty. I got an email I want to read out from a person called Ty Virgin. Apparently that's their name. Yeah, there we go. And it says, "You all right, mate? I love the pod. I've been loving it since I found it a few weeks ago. And I have a question." Excuse the language in the next bit. "Don't you think there's something beautiful in a proper shithousery British Christmas? Like, there's nothing better than Slade playing while you're sat around the table, the food's a bit burnt, your nan and granddad are arguing with Christmas hats on. Like, it's not perfect, but it's that typical shit but great British Christmas. Do you have any similar memories? Maybe not perfect, but what represent British Christmas? Anyway, thanks for reading, mate. Sorry if the grammar's off. Been a long morning. Got to get back to work." Well, thanks so much, Ty, for getting in touch. And I know exactly what you mean, especially when you watch the old 80s sitcoms. Now, I was brought up in the 80s. So when I watch the old 80s sitcoms and people are just sat around with their paper hat on, most countries, if you don't have Christmas crackers, you won't have the paper hat. And the paper hat, paper crown, that we wear is just one of those things that sums up the shit but great British Christmas. And I do know what you mean. Yeah, my mum's cooking was always decent, so you know, I can't complain the food was a bit burnt. But I do know exactly what you mean. And it's funny because these days I think a lot of people have moved away from that. And sometimes the crap you see on Facebook, like when, I don't want to name names, but there's a family that my wife is friends with, they join up with their rest of their extended family, and all the kids are wearing the same pajamas for Christmas Day, and looks like a professional photo shoot that they chuck up on Facebook, where the whole family's sat around in this glorious, perfect Christmas in front of the tree, all the presents laid out, and the children looking immaculate. Well, that ain't the way it is. Now, it may be like that for them, I don't know. It might just be they got it in the picture and they spent the rest of the time arguing and screaming and wearing paper crowns, I don't know. But I know exactly what you mean, Ty. I love the homeliness of Christmas. It doesn't have to be spectacular. I love every aspect of it. And thanks for getting in touch. So that's it for the housekeeping. Now we'll get started with this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
So we're starting off with Bob Baker, and I won't lie to you, this episode's one is naff.
"I think it is important, as a self-appointed barman, that as a public service, I need to provide warnings about drinking. So, if you drink alcoholic beverages before pregnancy, it may cause pregnancy. Now, for today's word, we have a convergence of some of our favorite Yuletide things, The Christmas Carol, Total Christmas, and Bridget Jones' Diary. The first two are obvious, but the third is a Do You Hear What I Hear US-UK classic matchup, where you take a Texas-born American actress, Renee Zellweger, and you have her play Bridget Jones, a young, single Londoner. Yes, it works out exactly as you'd expect. However, these three have something else in common, and it's naff. No, I don't mean that they are naff, but just that you will hear the word naff in all of them. In Jim Carrey's Christmas Carol, ignorance tells Scrooge to naff off. In Bridget Jones' Diary, she describes something as not being naff enough. And Jack? Well, he calls a lot of things naff, and usually these are things that he dislikes. But naff has no American counterpart. We don't even have anything similar. Maybe crap, but that's more vulgar. So what is naff? What does it mean? When the British newspaper, The Guardian, tried to answer this question, I learned some of the colorful history surrounding this term, like how it was once used in the UK gay community to describe a straight person. Thus, it means something like boring, dull, or lame. One reader said it means whack, which has probably given me more slang for a future show. In the end, I found that naff provides a polite way to curse and to put something down or tell someone to go away while still showing good manners. And how very British is that? Cheers and happy Christmas.
Do you know what bothers me? I'm worried that I'm going to have to start paying him because he does such a good job. The research this man puts in, and then he goes and records it as well. Bob, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much for that. I'm even learning. I can't believe it. He's doing a fantastic job. And one thing I definitely want to say is thanks, Bob, for not calling my podcast Naff, even though I think we all know the truth. Now it's time for this. Okay, boys and girls, a couple of weeks ago, I had the wonderful Paula Horwood on. She was talking about her baubles. And while we were chatting, we discussed how she found out about Santa. So, here it is. Boys and girls, this episode's Santa Claus is Not Coming to Town comes from the wonderful Paula Horwood, who you would have heard in the last couple of episodes. Paula, tell us your story.
How I found out about Father Christmas. I was probably 9 years old, and I was in school, and we had a supply teacher called Mrs. Drake, and she always wore glasses at the end of her nose, and we were doing a project about Christmas in Germany, and then she just suddenly said to everyone, you don't still believe in Father Christmas, do you? Because it is your parents. And everyone kind of went quiet, and you could see a lot of the boys trying not to look disappointed, and there was just a long silence in the classroom for the rest of the day, and I went home. I know, I told my mum what she said, and she just said that Mrs. Drake must have been a very naughty girl and that her parents would have had to bring her presents.
It's too late by that point, isn't it?
It was.
Yeah, there's no winning that back after something like that. You can't, if your parents had been there at the time, they might have been able to claw it back and save the day, but what a bitch.
Yeah, I know.
If she was just a supply teacher, was she?
Yeah, she was.
And she still remember her name?
I do, yeah.
When you were 9 years old, was she often in then?
Yeah, she was actually. We had a teacher that was quite unwell for a lot of the time. So Mrs. Drake did a lot.
Oh, so she did teach you a lot.
Yeah.
And she taught you. What a fucking bitch. There you go.
Actually, I'm going to ask my mum, and she actually went up to school and spoke to them about that, because that was bad form.
It is bad form. What? She's just done. That's like a mass telling, a mass outing. That is.
It's like, and it was pretty close to Christmas.
Sorry, say again?
It was pretty close to Christmas as well. It must have been December time, because we were doing a project about Christmas.
You probably would have only got like one more good year out of it.
I know.
And she stole that away from your parents.
Yeah, she did. She did. At least I've named and shamed her.
Yeah, Mrs. Drake. If you're listening to this, Mrs. Drake, which is unlikely, I've only got four listeners. But if you're one of those four listeners, Mrs. Drake, I don't need you as a listener. Get out of here. That's unbelievable.
I feel a bit of redemption from that, though. Thank you.
Oh, okay. That's good then. It's a catharsis. Have you got a cat, Paula?
I do. Did you just see her?
Yeah, I did. I saw like a little white bit on the end of her tail. It was like, I thought it was either a very small ghost or it was the tip of a cat's tail going by.
She's got a little foxy tail, little white tip. And she was our Christmas present last year.
And how's that?
She was a stray. She was hanging around most of the summer, and I just thought she was really cute. But she came in the house the day before Christmas Eve and never really left. Gave us some biscuits and she stayed.
Have you already got a cat?
No, she was like, well, I used to have a cat.
Where do these biscuits come from then?
Oh, well, I ordered them when I was seeing her around. I just thought, I'll order in some biscuits, give them to the cat, and she stayed.
Huh. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Well, we've called her Dusty, but we did actually track down her original owners because she had a little chip in her ear and she lived about a mile away originally, but the owner said she'd been missing for so long, they'd got some new cats by then, so
keep her. You can keep her. That's our Christmas present to you, a stray cat. Oh, wow. So she'd been like living on the streets for a year.
Yeah.
And you took her in.
Yeah, she's really fat now, though. We need to calm down the biscuits.
Fattening her up for Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us and the awful Mrs. Drake. Goodness me, she sounds like a baddie out of a blooming Roald Dahl novel.
she is.
Yeah.
A good way to describe her.
Like Mrs. What's her name? Trunchbull. Mrs. Trunchbull at Matilda.
Yeah,
like that.
That's exactly what she was like, actually.
Well, yeah, thanks for sharing that with everyone. You're going to tell everyone about your baubles again?
So my
I'm not saying baubles.
You say it more than I do. My baubles are baubles that you hang on the tree. They open up as a ring box, so you can put a gift in there, surprise your loved one. You can buy them from Etsy, Prezibox, and
baubles.co.uk. I'll put all the links in the show notes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paula. Take care.
Thanks, Jack.
This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. So, last episode, kids, we came to the end of my festive game and quiz collection box. That's what it's called. That's what it was. I got it at the car boot sale. It was a great story I shared with everyone. And I used up all the questions. So I went out and I bought a book. I'll come to that in a second. Here's the deal. So it's the Festive Game and Quiz Collection, and it contains 100 festive quiz questions, 100 general knowledge quiz questions, and 100 Hum That Tune songs. 50 of those are Christmas ones, 50 are non-Christmas ones. I've used it all up now, but I thought, do you know what? Why don't I give this away to someone? So if you want my crappy festive game and quiz collection, it's in really good nick because, you know, I've only used it for the show. And I figured maybe I could send it to you. And then on Christmas Day, you and the family could sit around and have a go with it. So if you're interested in that, email me and say, yeah, I'll have your crappy quiz thing or naff quiz thing, if you want to call it that, you know, topical. Or I'll put it up on Facebook and you can put a comment and put your name down. You're going, yeah, put my name down in the crappy quiz raffle. And then what I'll do is sometime next week, I will put the names in a hat and I'll pull out the names. I say names, it might just be one person or it might be none. So if you want it, it's there and I'll post it out to you. I just think it would be nice if I sent it to a good home and someone could get some joy out of it this Christmas. Obviously, you've heard all the questions yourself, but you could be the quiz master for people that don't listen to the podcast. Because do you know what, boys and girls? There are people in this world that don't listen to this podcast. Hard to believe, but true. Anyway, so I went out and I bought a book, and it says it's the biggest Christmas quiz book ever, and it can't be, because it ain't that big. It's not that big at all. I'd like to describe the size of it, but you can sort of just imagine a book that's not that big. It's about a centimetre thick, and I've seen quiz books that are a bit bigger than that. A lot bigger than that, in fact. Right, there's loads of questions in it. It says it's got 1,063 questions. A lot of them are really almost impossible. So I'll give you one, right? Now, I knew the answer to this, but I bet most of my listeners won't. This is a question. This isn't part of the quiz, right? It's what TV sitcom starring Paul Nicholas and Jan Francis was watched by 20.76 million viewers on Christmas Day 1986? There you go. Any ideas? No. Right, it's just Good Friends, I think the answer is. I'm not looking it up, but I'm pretty sure. Paul Nicholas and Jeff. Anyway, that's how tricky some of them are. I'm trying to sidestep the really difficult ones and the ones that I don't think are that Christmassy, but they're still quite difficult. A lot more difficult than the old festive quiz and game collection. But don't hold that against me. Anyway, are you ready? We're going to get started. So this is the deal. I'm keeping it the same. So I've just written down a load of Christmas songs, so I'm going to hum five of those. So it's the same as it was before, all right? It's just the same, apart from the questions are more difficult. Are you ready? Say yes, please, so I can get started. Are you ready? Cool. Okay, right, question number one. On Christmas morning, 1492, whose ship, the Santa Maria, ran aground on the northern coast of what is now Haiti? Haiti, sorry. I knew that. On Christmas morning, that's why it's a Christmas question. 1492. Got that one? Right, next one. In the pop charts of 1953... The Beverly Sisters, Jimmy Boyd, and Billy Cotton and his band all saw what? So it's like three different acts with the same song out in the charts. Right, question number three. Which character does Mickey play in the 1983 animated short film Mickey's Christmas Carol? Question number next one. What does the Cockney rhyming slang term mince pies mean? Question number... In which action film series does Jason Statham play an ex-SAS soldier, Lee Christmas? That's what makes it Christmassy. His surname is Christmas. Yeah, kind of an expendable question, that one, really. Question number... Which 20th century former Prime Minister of the UK said... You ready? Christmas is a day of meaning and traditions. A special day spent in the warm circle of family and friends. Who said that? Question number... Who is the star of the 1994 comedy film Mixed Nuts, in which he plays the head of a suicide helpline who develops problems of his own on Christmas Eve? Who is it? Who's the head of that suicide helpline? Who is he? Well, no, actually not who is he. Who's the actor that played... question number... Baron Hardup is a character in which pantomime... That's a tricky one, because, you know, in the UK we love our pantomimes. Not many other countries do, but Baron Hardup. Yeah. Okay, question number... Oh, this must be nine. Little Things is a Christmas song, apparently, I don't even know if I've heard it, on which group's 2021 album Voyage. It was their first album of new material since The Visitors in 1981. They hadn't had an album for 40 years, and they released a... Oh, who cares? Right, last one. What is the alternate title of Shakespeare's play Twelfth Night? Okay, and it's not the 6th of January. Okay, that's not the alternative title. Actually, it might be. I don't know the answer. I'll have a look in a second. Right, let me hum some songs for you. You ready? I said, are you ready? Don't just ignore me. Come on, I'm doing my bit. You do. Are you ready? Okay, cool. Right, here we go. First one, easy one. They're all easy. And that's enough. Number two. That's all you're getting. Next one. Easy one. Next one, also easy. Next one. Oh, this is the last one, actually. This is number 5. That makes it. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Come on, play along. Are you ready? Okay, cool. Right. And that's your lot. Right, let's get in with the answers. Okay, question number one was, on Christmas morning 1492, whose ship, the Santa Maria, ran aground on the northern coast of what is now Haiti? It was Christopher Columbus. So there you go. Question number two. In the pop charts of 1953, the Beverly Sisters, Jimmy Boyd and Billy Cotton and his band all saw... Are you ready? They all saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus. That's right, all three acts in the charts at the same time. Question number three. Which character does Mickey play in the 1983 animated short film Mickey's Christmas Carol? You ready? Bob Cratchit, of course. Yes, we all knew that. Question four. What does the Cockney rhyming slang term mince pies mean? It means eyes. Yeah, so sometimes you might just call your eyes your mincers. Just so you know, that's a thing. Next one. Question number whatever. In which action film series does Jason Statham play an ex-SAS soldier, Lee Christmas? That was The Expendables. Yeah, I'm sure you all knew that one. Question number... Which 20th century former British Prime Minister said Christmas is a day of meaning and traditions, a special day spent in the warm circle of family and friends? That was Maggie Thatcher, would you believe? Yeah. See, she wasn't a cold-hearted bitch after all. Oh, dear. I should have cut that bit out, shouldn't I? I didn't. It's still in there. Maybe I will cut it out. If it's still in there, I didn't cut it out. You can work that out, can't you? Who is the star of 1994 comedy film Mixed Nuts, in which he plays the head of a suicide helpline who develops problems of his own on Christmas Eve? That's Steve Martin. Yeah, I watched that, I think, for the first time like a couple of years ago. Didn't feel that festive because it was like, I think it's in, is it Florida or something? I think it was very hot, so it didn't sort of seem that festive. But just my opinion, you might have loved it. Baron Hardup is a character in which pantomime? That is Cinderella. And Little Things is a Christmas song on which group's 2021 album Voyage, their first album of new material since The Visitors in 1981. But you know what, I knew that one, even though I didn't know the name of their album or the name of their Christmas song. I just guessed from the gap in between albums. That was ABBA. And the last one, what is the alternate title of Shakespeare's play Twelfth Night? It was called, are you ready? I did not know this. What You Will. Did you know that? If you did, I'm impressed. If you didn't... Doesn't matter, does it? You're still beautiful. Right, here's the 5 songs. Let's run through them. They were expertly hummed by me. Feliz Navidad, Dominic the Donkey, Wonderful Christmas Time, In the Bleak Midwinter, and the last one was Please Come Home for Christmas. So there you go. That's your 15 questions. I hope you got them all right. I don't care if you did. I don't care if you didn't. All I care is that you're happy and you're healthy. Should we go on to the next bit? Yeah. That's what we're here for. Let's do that.
I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Okay, boys and girls, this is the third year on the trot of doing this. So I have Scott Newman, our US correspondent. He's going to be listening to some Christmas songs that are classics in the UK, and he's going to tell us if he's ever heard them before. Now, I've got to warn you in advance, Scott is a professional, and he's got a couple of podcasts, both of which are far better than the shambles you're listening to right now. So here's what I'm saying is, you're going to be spoilt for the next 20 odd minutes, okay? Don't start thinking, oh, this is the way the podcast is going to get. No, this is just a flash of genius. Then it's going to be back to the usual trolley. Okay, I'm warning you now. So don't get comfortable. Don't think, oh, I like this, because it's going to be rubbish after Scott's gone. So I'm just letting you know. Okay. Let's listen to it. Here it comes. Okay, boys and girls, this is the third year we've done this. I have Scott Newman, the host of Tinsel Tunes and the co-host of Christmas Morning Podcast. He's here today as my US correspondent. I'm going to play him some Christmas classic songs from the UK.
Everybody knows who I am, Jack. I've been here three times doing this with you now.
Yeah, but...
come on.
You seem to forget. I've got a high turnover of listeners. People listen only once, you see, and then they never listen again.
Oh, that's fair. Hello, Christmas toddlers. It's Scott again. I'm here to listen to British Christmas music, and I'm very excited about it.
You sound excited.
Listen, in the years past, I haven't done very well at this, but this year I've got a really good feeling about this one.
This is for my benefit. I just want to know what songs have made it over the pond. That's what it is. This isn't a competition. I'm not testing your knowledge. We're just finding out which songs have made the jump. So, Scott, we're just going to get straight into it. I'm going to play a song for Scott. He's going to tell us if he's heard it before or not. Simple as that.
I don't know what these clips are. You did send them to me, full disclosure, but they're just labeled clip 1 through clip 5.
That's it.
Okay, I'm ready when you are.
I'm ready and waiting. Here we go. First one,
here we go. All right, Jack, I absolutely know this song.
You do?
Yeah, this is Walking in the Air.
It is Walking in the Air, that's right, yeah.
And this is from the proper British special, The Snowman.
Do you know what? It sort of is. We'll come to that in a minute. Do you know who sings it? Or should we wait till the end?
Let me enjoy the song first. All right, so as I said, that was Walking in the Air. And if you listen to the Christmas Morning podcast, which you pretend to do, you'd know that I chose this as one of our song battles.
Do you know what? I don't pretend to. I listen to it at Christmas, so I haven't listened to it much through this year. Oh. You've got to remember, Scott, for those of you that haven't heard about the Christmas Morning podcast, it's fantastic. It's weekly at the moment. Is that right? Have you gone daily now?
That's correct. It's weekly until Thanksgiving, and then we're going to go daily.
Okay, and then it goes daily. So then it's a daily podcast, and that's when I listen.
That's a lot of episodes to get through.
The thing is, Scott, you talk a lot about what's on TV in the States, and there's other bits in it that sort of go right over my head. So I don't pretend to this. I'm not going to lie to you. I listened to every episode last year, and I will listen to every episode this year. Hang on, what is this? You're on my podcast.
All right.
Give me a telling off for not listening to your... You don't listen to my crap. Why should I listen to your crap?
I listen to your crap every week. Stop whinging.
Do you know this song or not?
All right. So yes, I know this song. It's Walking in the Air. I know it from The Snowman, which I did even watch this year because I was so interested in where it came from. You asked if I know who sings it. Kind of. I know that there was an original singer and for the TV special, and when they went back to re-record it, I believe his voice had already broken.
Oh, this is impressive, kids. This man knows his stuff.
I think the first guy's name was Peter. I don't know what his last name was.
It was Peter Orty.
Okay. And he was from like a choir, some sort of, you know, religious chorale kind of thing, right? Affiliated with some church.
He was a choir boy, yeah.
And then the replacement, he had a weird name. It was something like Alex, but I don't think it's Alex.
No, it's like Alex.
Okay, because it's like Alex Jones, but he's
it's
that
Alec
info
Jones. Well Aled? Done.
Okay, Aled.
So just to clarify then, is this a song you'd hear if you were like walking through a shopping center in the US, or like does it get airplay?
It doesn't get much airplay here. I judge these things on two criteria. I guess you could say three. The one that you just said was pretty good. Would I hear it in a shopping center? I think about what I hear streaming on Sirius XM. And I then also, on our TV cable station, we have a music channel that I just constantly leave that on, you know, what's already on right now. It's like November 1st all the way through January. And that plays a lot of popular songs. I have never heard this play on either of them.
Oh, no.
But I love the song. I think it's beautiful.
So how do you know it then?
I know it because for work, I went to some conference and there was a NASA engineer that came and spoke. NASA's our space agency.
Well, he came and spoke about the song Walking in the Air.
No, not about the song. He was talking about something. I don't know, leadership lessons of NASA, whatever it was. And he played a video from the International Space Station because he had been on the International Space Station. And the video was set to this song. So if you search for International Space Station Walking in the Air, you can see this beautiful video. And it's as the space station is going over the Earth and you can see the sun coming up as you go around the Earth. Spoiler alert, the Earth is not flat, and you can see the dawn and everything. It's absolutely beautiful, and I think this song is beautiful. I love it, but it's not very common here.
Are you saying that most people in the U.S. wouldn't know this song then?
I would say probably 50% of people might know it, or maybe a little less, but no, it's not super popular. Now, let me ask you, is this something I would hear if I was walking through a British shopping center, whatever you guys call them? Would I hear this song playing?
Yes. Without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, this song is a true classic. All the songs I've got for you are proper classics that you would hear if you were walking in a shopping centre. This one definitely. Maybe a couple of the later ones, not so common. But I was so impressed with your knowledge. Yeah, it was originally by Peter Orti when it came out on The Snowman. And then it was re-recorded actually for an advert for Toys R Us. And it was about 3 years later. So the song had become a classic, but it hadn't been released as a single. So 3 years later, Peter Orti, apparently I think he knew Alan Jones, and I don't know if he recommended Alan Jones to sing instead. So Alan Jones sung the song, and it got to, I think, number two or three in the charts. I'm pretty sure it was top five at least. I never made it to number one, and that's made Alan Jones's career. So most people think that when you watch The Snowman, that is Alan Jones singing, but it's not. It's Peter Orti. And it's interesting because I think Peter Orti is still singing, but not like Alan Jones is like a national treasure. He presents TV shows. He still releases albums frequently and that. So, yeah. So well done for knowing that. Well, that's very impressive.
All right. So I've got the first one right. It's official, right?
You can have a point, Scott. Oh, he's had installed. This is impressive. There we go.
This is the sound design of a professional podcast.
Yeah.
Real quick, what surprises me about this song being so popular on your side of the pond is this isn't a very pop-like song. It doesn't have pop song qualities to it. And it surprises me that it's so popular, but I respect it.
Yeah, I think it's just a classic song. I think, you know, Christmas, they don't have to be poppy, do they? They don't have to be lively. They can be a bit slower. It's a bit more ambient, this song, I think. Yeah.
All right, are we ready to move on to song number two?
We're ready for number two. Let's go.
All right, so I know this is 2,000 Miles by the Pretenders.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's two for two. The snow's
falling down. Gets colder day by day. All right, so that was 2,000 Miles by the Pretenders. I know the song.
Okay.
I'm going to answer your questions that you asked me for the last one. No, this is not popular here, but I know I've heard this more than I've heard Walking in the Air. And the Pretenders are obviously very popular. This is going to sound really, really stupid. I'm going to show my hand here. Are they British? I'm not familiar. Well, don't look at me like that. This is an audio medium. You can't see it, but your face is aghast. Like, how could he ask such a stupid question?
No, that's not what my face is saying, actually. My face is saying, oh, dear, I thought I knew the answer, but now I'm not so sure.
Okay, well, that's fair.
If you'd asked me yesterday, I would have said, yeah, the Pretenders are British. Now you've blooming questioned it. I don't know.
All right, hold on. Let me put the research department on it. Everybody hold on for just a second. Hind is originally from Akron, Ohio, and she moved to London in 1973.
Okay, so that was 10 years before this song came out then. So she's American then.
Well, she was in London for long enough that I'll give her credit for that. And I certainly didn't know the answer. And it turns out you didn't quite know the answer either. So we'll both take a pass on that one, okay? But I got the song right.
You got to stop playing these tunes because it's making... Everyone's going to be like, oh, this is something we're not used to. A high-quality podcast. And they're all going to jump ship halfway through the episode and be on Christmas Morning Podcast.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll send you some sound clips that you can use. Okay, so this song, again, I would hear this one in this mythical London shopping center that I'm in. This is something I would just hear?
Without a doubt, yeah.
Okay.
But this is sort of second tier, this one. It's not like right at the top, but most people would know this one.
Okay, I don't find this song Christmassy.
She mentions Christmas Day. It must be Christmas Day.
Okay, well, I don't know the lyrics. The lyrics are something about 2,000 miles about of what? What is 2,000 miles?
2,000 miles is the length of her Christmas stocking that Santa's going to fill. If you listen to the lyrics, Scott, you'd know this.
Okay, well, I haven't listened to the lyrics, and that's obvious. I thought maybe it was like the distance the wise men traveled or something.
No, I think, I don't know, maybe it's so far a boyfriend lives or something.
It'd be like across the ocean. That doesn't really work. So, okay. I think the song is just all right. This is not something I would put on any of my own Christmas playlists. It doesn't have any meaning to me. There's nothing special about it, but I think it's a fine song.
Yeah, see, here's the thing, though, because I'm not sure how I'd feel about it if I'd only just heard it. But because I've heard it so many times, it's a Christmas classic to me. So when I hear it, I think of Christmas. So I feel happy. So
it's probably intertwined with all the memories that you've had and built throughout your life. So I don't think I don't see how you would untangle that. It's just part and parcel of the whole thing now, right?
Yeah, but again, this isn't the song. I don't remember the first time I heard it, but I don't remember being aware of it when I was younger.
You know, in the future, I'm going to have to come on your show and play some American songs that are strictly American.
Oh, that's a good idea, because I mentioned that on the first time you came on. And do you know what happened, Scott? I'll tell you what happened. Nothing.
Listen, I brought sound effects, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, here we go for the third song. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I probably can't keep up this pace of winning, okay?
No. Oh, you will with the next one, I think.
Wow, this is Elton John. This is Step Into Christmas.
Yeah. I was pretty sure this one had made it across, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Mm-hmm. This is a good song. All right, so that was Step Into Christmas from Elton John. I'm guessing that was from about 1975, 73, somewhere in there.
Yeah, around then, that's 70s, yeah.
Okay, I remember the first time I heard this song.
Oh, wow, okay.
And that's rare because you and I are the same age and a lot of these memories are seen missing at this point. We were at a gas station. You have those in the UK?
We call them petrol stations.
Petrol? Yeah, okay, yeah. It was one of these things, if you fill up your whole tank or something, you know, minimum number of gallons, you got a free cassette tape. And boys and girls, that's how music used to come. It was on, you know, an actual cassette tape, and you push it into the dashboard of your car. It had this song on it. Now, my dad was not the most progressive person you've ever met in your life, and I don't think he really liked Elton John. I think Elton John is great. But he was like, oh, this is crap, you know, and he fast-forwarded it right by it. And I think that made me want to listen to it even more. Because there was something, you know, in my probably 8 or 9 year old brain that made it subversive to me. So I've always liked this song and I think it's catchy. I think it's a pop banger and I love hearing it every year. This is one that I will absolutely hear throughout the Christmas season in the US.
Okay, there we go. I sort of thought that and I can't remember. I think I must have heard it on a film, an American film. And I guess I thought,
oh, really?
That one has made it. But so I was pretty sure you'd know that one. Do you want to play your sound effect?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
That's three. That's really good.
Yeah, I'm wearing out that button over here with my winning.
That's top tier as well, that one is. That's one you definitely hear. And it's on a lot of TV shows as well. It's one that everyone would know that one. Even though it's, you know, quite an old song, I guess it's one of those that's done.
It's probably not quite as popular in the US. It's kind of like a second tier song. Okay. But you will absolutely hear it. People would certainly know what it is. And no one would say, who is this or what is this?
Right.
But it's not up there with your Bing Crosby's and your Frank Sinatra's or anything like that. But a great song. Nice pick.
You know, Elton John was more popular in the States for many years than he was in the UK. Like in the early days, he was...
Really?
I think there was 2 or 3 years he was the biggest selling artist in the States.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
In the early 70s. But he was always big in the UK, but I don't know how he fares now compared to the UK. But yeah, He was very popular at this at that time.
I believe he lives full time in the UK.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I believe, yeah.
You go to his house?
Well, yeah, it's only a small country. We sort of, we're always popping in. Step into Christmas, he says, Jack. And I step. No, I've never. Actually, funnily enough, do you know what? Of all the people in the UK, I've never actually met him. Only a small island, but no, we've never bumped into each other.
And that would be Sir Elton John, right?
Sir, indeed. Yeah. That's what he says when you bump into him. He's like, it's Sir Elton John. Do you know what? This is a complete aside, but when it goes, oh, dude, that's embarrassing now. I just think he said, deep in the feeling, come along with me. But he says, eat, drink, and be merry. And it was only about 2 years ago that I realised what he was actually saying there. Eat, drink, and be merry. And he also says, I always thought he said, hop aboard the turkey boat. But he says, hop aboard the turntable.
Turntable, right? Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I thought it was turkey boat. Well, you know, a turkey boat. You probably don't have those in the States. In the UK, come on Christmas Day, everyone gets in their turkey boat and we float down the river.
I don't think that's the case. But now that's all I'm going to hear.
Have you ever been to Christmas in the UK? Tell me how I spent Christmas.
I read books by Bill Bryson. I know all about the UK, all right?
He's a well-read man.
Yeah, yeah, I am. Okay, here it goes. Clip number four. Are you ready?
You won't know this one.
Okay.
Tonight the rain is falling.
I have never heard this. I didn't know you had barbershop quartets in the UK. What is this?
And while the past is calling, in my fantasy, I remember their faces. The hopes we had were much too reach, but we have to try. The game will never be over, because we're keeping the dream.
You take a stab?
No, I have never heard that in my life. Would I know the artist?
I think if you Googled that song, it's called Keeping the Dream Alive, and then you put Paul, I reckon it would self-fill on Google,
Autocomplete, yeah.
I reckon it'd say Paul McCartney, because I think it sounds like Paul McCartney. I think if you didn't know, you'd think that might be Paul McCartney singing that.
Keeping the Dream Alive, Paul. Yeah, McCartney. Keeping the Dream Alive, Paul McCartney is the first autocomplete that comes up. So I'm guessing what you're telling me is it's not Paul McCartney.
It's not Paul McCartney, no. So this is an interesting one because I nearly didn't add this one, nearly didn't. This is a song called Keeping the Dream Alive by Freiheit. They were like one-hit wonders. They're a German band, so it's not the UK. Okay. In 1988, they released this one, and it was one of those songs that was released near Christmas. And because it was released near Christmas, it's not a Christmas song, it's Christmas adjacent. Mm-hmm. So it's associated with Christmas in the UK. Now, I think it got to number three. It might have been, definitely didn't get to number one. And the only reason I added it is because last year I was walking around Tesco's. You know how much I love Tesco's.
Mm-hmm. It's a supermarket, right? Is it a supermarket or is it more of a store that can, that sells everything? Like what we have a Walmart and Target here.
No, it's, okay. Well, it's both. We've got the supermarkets that are a bit like a Walmart. Like you got the super, they got the Extra. That's Tesco Extra. Then you've got the Tesco, which is a supermarket. Then you've got Tesco Metro, which is a small two supermarket. Then you've got Tesco Express, which is the one I live almost next door to. And that's like a convenience store, like a 7-Eleven.
Okay.
Like, yeah. And I was walking around there and they were playing it at Christmas. And I thought, it does still get a bit of airplay. So that's why I put it on here. So this is like third, possibly even fourth tier. But I think people my age would definitely know it. But I don't know how many playlists it would be on. If you bought a new compilation that had come out this year, maybe it wouldn't be on there. You know, sort of, it's not getting the airplay it would have maybe 10, 15 years ago. But like I say, it came out in 88. So that's, yeah. But they were one-hit wonders. So.
And definitely not a top-tier one, you're telling me?
No. Even at its peak, it was sort of probably second tier anyway. Because again, it's not a Christmas song. It's the words aren't Christmassy, you know.
Would younger kids even know who it is?
No.
Or know the song?
Yeah, no, not at all. Like I said, the only reason I added it is because it does still get a bit of airplay, but not much.
Cool. All right, so that was a big...
Play your sound effect. What sound effect you got for that one?
Okay, but I'm 3-for-4 right now.
Well, I mean, this next one I'm interested in because I've no idea which way this will go.
Okay, last one. Here we go.
Many have come from the valleys. Many have come from the hills.
had started their journey home to be with someone, with someone.
I feel like I might have heard this at some point in my life.
Open your eyes on Savior's Day.
I'm disappointed for the people at home that can't see what Jack is doing right now. He's doing a full Milli Vanilli lip sync to this song.
Yes.
I've heard the song. I have no idea what it is, but I think it's by somebody famous.
Yes. Well, you would have heard it because I think I've played a clip of it on... Well, I know I've played a clip of it on an episode of my show. This is the King of Christmas, Cliff Richard.
Oh, that's the British Elvis, right?
Yeah, I think Elvis would be insulted by that.
Yeah, he's the mistletoe and wine guy, right?
Exactly. He had mistletoe and wine.
I should get a quarter point for that, but still.
You'd think, yeah, that's it. You're not getting, nothing.
No.
So he had mistletoe and wine in 88. Then in 89, he was at number one with being part of Band Aid 2. And then in 1990, he was number one again with On a Savior's Day. That's a Savior's Day, that song's called.
Savior's Day.
Yeah.
How old is Cliff Richard now? He's got to be like Mr. Burns' age.
I think he's at 80-odd, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to guess like 103.
No, he's starting to look quite that way. But he still looks all right. His calendar still sells really well.
It's not the years, it's the mileage.
A few years ago, I don't know, I'm only talking like in the last sort of 5 or 6 years, his calendar was like the best-selling calendar in the UK every year.
Calendar?
You know, like your calendar that you stick up on your wall.
No, I have a phone.
People have calendars, Scott.
Maybe in the UK they do.
Yeah, and Cliff Richard's on them. Oh, on all of them.
He's on all of them. I could go to the store and I could buy a Cliff Richard's Christmas Greatest Hits CD, is what you're telling me?
Yeah. He's got a new Christmas album coming out this year, actually. Someone, and I can't remember who, to my shame, sent me a link to his new album that's coming out. It's not been released yet. I'm unlikely to buy it. My mum's a big fan of Cliff Richard, actually. He's a devout Christian, and he did sing a lot of Christian stuff in his early days.
I figured with the Savior's Day.
Exactly.
Thing.
Well, sure. People in the UK will know this.
Okay, but answer this honestly, though, because I'm getting the sense that he is popular with a much older generation, probably not as much with a younger generation.
Yeah, no, he doesn't get the airplay at all anymore. There was a big... In the year 1999, he released a song version of the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, I remember something about that.
Yeah, it was one of the best-selling singles of the year, and no radio stations would play it, apart from when they had to do the chart rundown, because he was at number one, they'd have to play it then. But no, it got no airplay, but it still got to number one comfortably. That was the last time he was at number one, actually. He's had number ones in 5 consecutive decades, but he never made number one this century. He got to number two in the early, about 2006 or something.
Well,
yeah, I talked about that song in an episode that you weren't listening to.
Listen, so, you put out so much good content, it's hard for me to remember any single point in time. Remember, I'm the one that was listening to your podcast to fall asleep. Remember that experiment that didn't last very long?
No, didn't know what happened.
Let me back up for people who might have missed it. I decided to put all of the Total Christmas Podcast catalog on an iPod because I have tinnitus and my ears ring at night, so I have to listen to something so that I don't go crazy. And I decided to put all the episodes of the Total Christmas Podcast on an iPod, and I listened to it, and I thought this was going to be a great thing because I enjoy your show so much. And it kind of just goes into the background. You know, I'm not listening as much as I'm just hearing, if that makes sense. Well, the problem is I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning and the episode was one that I was on with you. And if you've never woken up to your sound of your own voice on a podcast at 3 a.m., it's like having an out-of-body experience, and it was really unpleasant. So I chucked the iPod across the room and I went back to something else. Oh, did I play my sound effect for that last song?
You did, but play it again.
Big fail. So that was 3 out of 5. That is the best showing I've ever had.
That is, yeah.
I think this is the third year that we've done this, maybe?
This is the third year, yeah. And I was pretty sure you'd get the first one. No, I wasn't 100% sure about the first. I knew the Pretenders had sort of made it across the pond, so I thought you might get that one. And I was pretty sure about Step Into Christmas. But the other two, I knew you wouldn't, because you didn't get Mistletoe and Wine when I first played it for you, I don't think.
No, but now I know what that song is. And if you played it for me now, I would recognize it.
Is that because of my show, or is that because you spend so much time listening to Christmas?
No, because of your show. I've never heard it played out loud in the U.S. Yes.
Biggest selling song of the year, that was.
I just don't think Cliff Richard's ever got any kind of popularity over here, which surprises me. If somebody that popular, I would have thought it would bleed over a little bit, but I don't think so.
He did have a couple of top, I don't know if it's top 10, he definitely hit the top 40 a couple of times, but not much more than that. Bearing in mind, in the UK, I think he's the biggest selling solo artist of all time. Yeah.
Wow.
Although I expect Ed Sheeran's probably nipping at his heels now.
I kind of like him. I think he's interesting, but it's also kind of an anachronism. Like, it's this old thing from another time.
Yeah. I don't think he was ever cool.
Yeah.
Really. There might have been a time in the 50s and 60s where he was, but like, I remember from being a kid thinking that Cliff Richard is not cool, and he would have been only in his 30s then, I imagine. I guess. Is that right?
Well, let's put it this way. One of my favorite things to do when your episodes drop, it's 6 p.m. on a Saturday night, my time. So after my kid goes to bed, I like to pour a nice whiskey or a brandy, and I sit downstairs where it's nice and dark, and I listen to your episode. And sometimes when the episode's over, I'll just continue to listen to some Christmas music because I'm just kind of in the mood and I'm chilling out before bed. I would never put on a Cliff Richards album, song, whatever. In those times. Lately, it's been Vince Guaraldi, but not Cliff Richard. So that was this year. That was 2022, 3 for 5.
Yep, that's good. That is good. Yeah, I think next year's going to be tricky. I've already got them lined up.
Really?
I think you'll have trouble next year. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to study this year. That's what I'm planning to do. And I'm going to nail it. I'm getting 4 for 5 next year. That's my plan.
No, you won't. It's possible. It's possible, but we'll see. Well, thank you so much for coming on again. Do you want to tell everyone what you do about your podcast, Scott? Share them with us. I know you tell them every year, but like I said, the turnover I've got of listeners.
Well, yeah, but it changes. It changes all the time.
Is this true?
Like my pants. The primary one I do is Christmas Morning with Bran from Deck the Hallmark. It is a weekly show during the year, and then it goes daily about Thanksgiving. We were going to start it November 1st this year, and we were both like, oh my God, that's a lot of work. So we decided to wait until Thanksgiving. We do a Christmas joke, a Christmas countdown, how many days until Christmas, Christmas news. We read the Christmas TV specials, but as you pointed out, Jack, they're only for the U.S., you know, international listeners. There's this great button on your podcast app. It says plus 30. You just hit that maybe about 3 or 4 times. You'll be right by it. And then the best thing that we do, or at least the most well-received, is a Christmas music battle. So one of us, Bran or I, will pick a Christmas song, and then we'll go to bandcamp.com where they have a lot of independent artists hosted, and we'll find what we think is the best version of that song. And we also have listeners send in their choices for the best song too, and we'll pick one of those, and we have a three-way battle, and it's a blind competition. So we play all three songs, then in the show notes, you can find a poll, a link to the poll, and then you vote for which one you thought was the best. And then the next week, we'll announce the winner and who brought it. So right now, I'm in the lead for 2022. I think it's something like 15 to 13 or something.
Close.
So it's a pretty good lead, and it's so much fun. I love doing that every week. It's absolutely a labor of love. I also, in the past, did Jingle Jank, but we got so many copyright strikes at the beginning of 2022, and episodes started getting pulled down, and it really sucked a lot of the fun out of it. You put all this work into something, and then it disappears, and it really makes you not want to do it. Jay and I, who is my co-host on Jingle Jank, we also took over Tinsel Tunes for Dwayne Bailey. And that one's been on the shelf for a little bit this year, just because it's been a really busy summer. I think I'm going to record an episode with Dwayne in the next couple of weeks. So we will put out something. And then in 2023, we'll relaunch with something spectacular. I don't know what that will be yet. But that's what I've been doing. And then I'm also the official U.S. correspondent to the Total Christmas Podcast, which is the greatest thing that I do in my life.
And of course, bi-weekly stories about St. Nicholas as well.
Oh, I'm loving doing that. Yes. Thank you for letting me read stories about St. Nicholas.
No, you're doing a fine job.
Oh, thank you. You always say very kind things, and I love doing it. I think we're going to run out of stories before too long, which is unfortunate. So you're going to have to find something else for me to read, but you just let me know. It could be the back of the shampoo bottle. I don't care.
I don't wash my hair.
I don't have hair, so.
Thanks so much for coming on, Scott. It's always wonderful to have you on air. Hopefully we'll have you on before this time next year, but thanks so much, and well done for getting 6 out of 5.
Thanks, Jack. Thank you for having me, and thanks for listening, all you Christmas toddlers. It's great to be one of you.
So So, you know, there's me talking about my biggest Christmas quiz book ever that I've just bought, that I've read those questions out of. Well, get this, right? This is question number three in the book. Okay, this is the joke, is question number three in the book. They think this is a quiz question. It's not, it's a joke. And it actually says, cracker question. Right, are you ready? Here it comes. Cracker question. What is the favourite Christmas song of monkeys? Jungle Bells. Get it? Jungle Bells. Yep. Is that a quiz question or is it a joke? Well, it ain't much of a joke, is it? Okay, boys and girls, this is a bit different now. I just want to make a couple of announcements. Now, the first one is I've got some merch. And you're thinking, oh, Jack's a sellout. Oh, I knew it. And yes, I am a complete sellout. I won't lie to you. There's no part of me that is not a sellout. But if you want to go on to TeePublic and buy one of the t-shirt designs I've put on there, there's four designs. One's just the Total Christmas Podcast logo. One says, Merry Christmas, you beautiful people. Another one says, you know, I love you, Merry Christmas. And there's a very funny one of a sheep saying, bah humbug. Yeah, those are the four designs. If you want to buy one of them, check them out. You can go on my website and click on the link to merch. And you're thinking, oh yeah, just trying to cash in. And do you know what? I sort of am, but I'm also not. Now, any money that comes in from these t-shirts, I'm going to give every cent of it to charity. Now, I've wanted to have some merchandise for a while, but I'm not that interested in making money out of it. I don't expect to make a massive amount of money, but any money that I do make is going to go to a charity in the UK. It's a British charity called Children in Need. Every year they have a massive drive, but they do collect money all year round, and that's where the money's going to be going. So if you do want to buy a t-shirt, go on the website, click on the merch. I'll probably put some links up on Facebook, but just so you know, not one cent of that money is going to go to me. Every penny of it I will be giving to Children in Need. But please, you know, if you want to get one of the t-shirts, I'd love it if people bought them. It's nice to see that people like the show that much that they want to wear it on their chest to celebrate Christmas. I'm not trying to push it massively, you know, it's just one of those things that's out there. But like I said, all the money straight to charity. Now, I have another announcement. Now, I've been doing this podcast for 2.5 years, and about 20 years ago, I wrote a book. Now, this was actually the third book I wrote. I never had them published. I did send them to publishers. They weren't interested. That's fine. But now, thanks to Kindle, I can get them published. And the first of those books, which is the third one that I wrote, is actually up on Amazon now. And if you want to buy a copy of it, it'll cost you $3 or about £2.70. It's a very, very funny book. I'm very proud of it, but also I'm a little bit ashamed of it. I wrote it 20 years ago. I was a younger man then, and I was a single man, and it's very, I warn you now, very rude. It's very crass. There's a lot of bad language in it, but at the same time, it is very, very funny and entertaining. I've changed a lot since then, I like to think, but I still wanted to get this book out there that I wrote 20 years ago. I've had it stored on the computer all these years, and I thought, you know what? Maybe it's time that I set it free. I've got this platform where, you know, I've got 5 listeners that listen to the show. So if you 5 guys go out and buy my book, then I'd make not $15, actually. I think I get less than 50% of the money that comes in for each sale, because most of it goes to Amazon. But if you want to buy a copy of the book, that would be great. If you've got Kindle Unlimited, you can have it for free and you can just read the book. It's quite a quick read, actually. I read it myself in less than a day a few weeks ago when I was just going through trying to spot any mistakes. It's about a young man who spends a lot of time drinking and going out and trying to meet young ladies. I think you'll find it funny. If you enjoy my humour, I do think you'll enjoy it. I'd love it if you'd buy a copy. And if you enjoy it, please put a review on there. If you don't enjoy it, then I don't know, you can still put a review on there, tell the world what you think, that's fine. But this is me putting my book out there. Now, here's the details. The book is called Thursday Night's All Right. It's only on Amazon, on Kindle. And the author's name, that's me, is Jack Andrews. Now, that's not actually my proper name. Jack Andrews is a pen name I came up with about 20 years ago when I wanted to be an author. Now, I really did want to be a writer back then, and I guess this is my opportunity to get my book out there. I would love it if some of you would go and buy a copy, or I'd love it if you have Kindle Unlimited for you to go and read a copy. I really do think you will find it funny, because it still makes me laugh, and I wrote it myself. So that's Thursday Night's All Right by Jack Andrews, and that's my book. And if you want to get a copy, then please do. Now let's move on and do this. What the Dickens? Well, it's been a few weeks since we've done one of these. Now, this is the part in the show where we take a deep look at A Christmas Carol and I explain some of the things in it you might not be aware of. Now, the first bit I want to play is this. Have a listen.
Scrooge was not a man to be frightened by echoes. He fastened the door and walked across the hall and up the stairs. Slowly, too, trimming his candle as he went. You may talk vaguely about driving a coach and six up a good old flight of stairs or through a bad young act of Parliament, but I mean to say you might have got a hearse up that staircase and taken it broadwise, with the splinter bar towards the wall and the door towards the balustrades, and done it easy. There was plenty of width for that and room to spare, which is perhaps the reason why Scrooge thought he saw a locomotive hearse going on before him in the gloom. Half a dozen gas lamps out of the street wouldn't have lighted the entry too well, so you may suppose that it was pretty dark with Scrooge's dip.
Now, the bit I want to talk about there is when it says, you may suppose that it was pretty dark with Scrooge's dip. Now, a dip is a type of candle, and the way this was made was you would melt tallow, and tallow is animal fat, and you would dip a wick, a piece of string, into the tallow, pull it out, let it harden, dip it in again, pull it out, let it harden, and you dip it a few times until you had a coating around the candle. Now, this was a really cheap way of making candles. If you wanted wax ones, they'd be moulded, but a dip was literally dipped into tallow and then taken out again, and they'd be normally very thin candles. So that's what it means when he says it was pretty dark with Scrooge's dip. Now, a lot of the information I get about these things is from a book I'm reading called The Annotated Christmas Carol. And the next bit, I'm not 100% sure if they've got it correct, but it's very, very interesting. And I'm going to play the bit for you now. Have a listen to this.
It was a very low fire indeed. Nothing on such a bitter night. He was obliged to sit close to it and brood over it before he could extract the least sensation of warmth from such a handful of fuel. The fireplace was an old one, built by some Dutch merchant long ago, and paved all round with quaint Dutch tiles, designed to illustrate the scriptures. The cellar door flew open with a booming sound, and then he heard the noise much louder on the floors below, then coming up the stairs, then coming straight towards his door. "It's humbug still," said Scrooge. "I won't believe it." His colour changed, though, when, without a pause, it came on through the heavy door and passed into the room before his eyes. Upon its coming in, the dying flame leaped up, as though it cried, "I know him! Marley's ghost!" and fell again.
Now, the bit I want to talk about is where it says, "The dying flame leapt up, as though it cried, 'I know him! Marley's ghost!' and fell again." If you listen to the whole bit I played for you, it talks about the dying fire. The fire's dying. So it suggests, as you're reading it, that it's the fire in the hearth that lights up a bit, as if to say, "I know him, it's Marley's ghost," and then it starts to fade again. Now, the illustrator of A Christmas Carol was a man called John Leech, and he did 8 pictures for the book. 4 were woodcuts, and 4 were hand-coloured etchings. Only 8 pictures in the whole book, and one of those is where Marley turns up. Now, there's a belief, and I want to read out what it says. It says, "If during the time of an apparition there is a lighted candle in the room, it will burn extremely blue. This is so universally acknowledged that many eminent philosophers have busied themselves in accounting for it without once doubting the truth of the fact." Now, this concept appears in other works of literature, including Lord Byron's unfinished Don Juan, and also in the play Julius Caesar by William Shakespeare, where Brutus says, "How ill this taper burns," and that's in a scene where he's visited by a ghost. And the idea, like I said, is that if there's a ghost in the room, a candle is going to burn brighter and bluer. Now again, going back to A Christmas Carol, I always thought it was talking about the fire, but the etching that John Leach did for this part of the book. It is incredible because you've got Scrooge sitting at the fire, you've got Marley standing right by him, and between the two of them on the table is the candle. And the candle flame is burning really bright and it's coloured blue. And if you look closely, there's a little face in the flame of the candle, a bit like Jim Carrey in his version of A Christmas Carol. And the little flame, the little face, is like it's saying, I know him, Marley's ghost. So there you go. Now, I don't know if Dickens was talking about the flame of the fire. If you listen to the bit I played you, it does sort of suggest that, because he says the flame was dying, which is what he talked about earlier when he was talking about the fire in the hearth. Or is he talking about the candle, because that's what John Leach drew? Now, I don't know. And it's funny that John Leach interpreted it as that the candle actually was shouting, I know him, it's Marley's ghost, because obviously Dickens has written as though it cried, not it did cry. I know him, Marley's ghost. But I just found that bit incredibly interesting and I wanted to share it with you. I hope you found it interesting too. Now let's move on and do this. It's the return now of Bob Baker. He's going to be talking about more Christmas traditions around the world. Take it away, Bob.
With the popularity of home improvement shows in the US, it only makes sense that gingerbread house decorating contests also have wide appeal. Not only can you find TV episodes dedicated to this craft, but these events are now being hosted all over the country. Some of these tournaments are simple. You're given a pre-made gingerbread house and candy, and you do the best job in the time allotted. You can find these outings at local churches or park districts, and they tend to appeal to young families because everyone can get involved. The parents will struggle to construct something presentable, while the kids just eat up the building materials. You see, everyone is a winner. And whereas these contests usually provide more traditional results, other competitions tend to be more elaborate and will feature real skilled gingerbread artists. They will have some famous chefs or celebrity judges and are held in fancy hotels or other public spaces where they give significant cash awards and prizes. The aim is to offer a fun Christmas activity that will both entertain the participants and the viewers. Some of these challenges involve more than 100 contestants, including adults, teens, and children. They make creative masterpieces that aren't necessarily houses, but may be based on themes like popular literature, movies, TV, or international landmarks. Of course, all creations must be 100% edible, and the winners will be chosen based on topics like originality, variety of materials, overall appearance, and design difficulty. Now this is a holiday tradition that you can eat up. Most of us may visit a church or a temple at Christmas time, but you may want to do so for other than spiritual guidance when in England. You can go see the UK holiday film favorite, The Snowman, shown at some of the country's most splendid cathedrals. These impressive locations serve as a backdrop for a special screening of the award-winning animated film, and the soundtrack is played by a live orchestra. There is no better way to watch The Snowman than on the big screen while listening to its familiar tune, Walking in the Air, sung by a young soloist. This is an amazing experience because the grandeur of the cathedrals provides such a unique atmosphere. The musicians will dress up as beloved Christmas characters, and the snowman is even brought to life as a lively costumed snowman walks around the cathedral waving to the audience. The performance creates a magical environment that promises to put the whole family in a festive mood. But you can also find other popular Christmas movie classics, new and old, on pop-up screens in famous historic buildings like St. George's Hall and Kensington Palace. Or there are films screened in even more exotic and colorful locations like the Amos Vale Cemetery, the Luna Drive-In Cinema, the Bristol Passenger Shed, or the St. Catherine Docks. So some of these are outside, under the stars, in the winter. So I think you'll need to pack hot chocolate or mulled wine and a blanket. All of these, though, provide a colorful Yuletide environment to fill you with Christmas spirit. Now, one of our favorite podcast listeners, Katie Gibson, she has done it again. She's given us great insight into celebrating a warm weather holiday. I imagine that getting into the spirit can be tricky with so much sunshine. However, today, Katie introduces us to a 66-year-old tradition, the Meyer Christmas windows, which are sure to get you in the mood. Decorated store windows are a global tradition. The windows will tell a festive story with incredible detail, but by being able to linger outdoors in the heat like they do in Australia, it is probably a better way to be able to absorb the Christmas magic. Meyer is a large department store in Australia with 6 big display windows. These windows have a special place in the hearts of many since the first came alive in the Christmas of 1956. Every year, these bright and sparkly windows transform the whole street into a magic winter wonderland with plenty of twinkling fairy lights, silvery tinsel, and seasonal themes. So, adults now remember their own childhood visits to the Christmas windows, and they take their own children, or even grandchildren, to see the grand Christmas display. In fact, over 1 million people will visit each year to gaze at the elaborate and detailed designs. Or, if you're in Sydney, you can visit David Jones, the oldest continuously run department store in the world. It has been bringing Christmas cheer to Sydney shoppers for 176 years. David Jones also has Christmas-themed windows every year. These have also been an Australian favorite for decades and will often feature snowy Northern Hemisphere Christmas scenes. Or, if you're visiting South Australia, the Rundle Mall gets a festive makeover with its own Christmas windows displays. Now, these windows tend to be a bit more avant-garde, and they blend festive traditions with arts and culture. Each window is individually designed and decorated to tell a contemporary Christmas story, complete with flowers, crystals, and life-sized gingerbread people. So, the mood will grow. It's getting late. Where will you go to celebrate?
Do you know what? I did not know about these screenings of the snowman in cathedrals. I was not aware of that at all. So this is very impressive, the research Bob's been doing. If you've got any traditions you want to share with us, please send them in, because it's been a while since anyone sent me any and we're getting closer to Christmas. So share what you've got planned. It doesn't have to be something massive that's going on everywhere. It could just be something that you like doing at home. But please do send them in and we can share them on an upcoming episode. Thanks again, Bob. You're doing a blinding job. And now it's time for this.
There'll be scary ghost stories.
Surprised, aren't you? I knew you would be.
Do you like the new jingle? Of course you do, because I did it by my own fair hand. Well, I didn't. I just cut it from that Andy Williams song. So this is the part of the show where our spooky correspondent, Tony Dixon, the host of Happy Halloween podcast, is reading us a Christmas ghost story. This is part 2, and the story is Between the Lights by E.F. Benson. Now I'm just going to give you a quick update. The narrator is spending Christmas at the house of Everard Chandler, and there's a number of guests, and they're all sitting around taking in turns telling ghost stories. And now it is the turn of the host to tell his story. So, we'll take it from there. Here we go.
Last year, he said, on the 24th of December, we were down here, as usual, Amy and I, for Christmas. Several of you who are here now were here then. 3 or 4 of you at least. I was one of these, but like the others, kept silence. For the identification, so it seemed to me, was not asked for, and he went on again without a pause. Those of you who were here then, he said, and are here now, will remember how very warm it was this day year. You will remember, too, that we played croquet that day on the lawn. It was perhaps a little cold for croquet, and we played it rather in order to be able to say, with sound evidence to back the statement, that we had done so. Then he turned and addressed the whole little circle. We played ties of half games, he said, just as we have played billiards today, and it was certainly as warm on the lawn then as it was in the billiard room this morning, directly after breakfast, while today I should not wonder if there was 3 feet of snow outside. More, probably. A sudden draft fluted in the chimney, and the fire flared up as the current of air caught it. The wind also drove the snow against the windows, and as he said, "Listen," we heard a soft scurrying of the falling flakes against the panes, like the soft tread of many little people who stepped lightly, but with a persistence of multitudes who were flocking to some rendezvous. Hundreds of little feet seemed to be gathering outside, only the glass kept them out. And of the 8 skeletons present, 4 or 5, anyhow, turned and looked out the windows. These were small paned with leaden bars. On the leaden bars, little heaps of snow had accumulated, but there was nothing else to be seen. "Yes, last Christmas Eve was very warm and sunny," went on Everard. "We had no frost that autumn, and a temerarious dahlia was still in flower. I have always thought that it must have been mad." He paused a moment. "And I wonder if I were not mad too," he added. No one interrupted him. There was something arresting. I must suppose it was in what he was saying. It chimed in anyhow with the hide-and-seek, with a suggestion of the lonely snow. Mrs. Chandler had sat down again, but I heard her stir in her chair. But never was there a gay party so reduced as we had been in the last 5 minutes. Instead of laughing at ourselves for playing silly games, we were all taking a serious game seriously. "Anyhow, I was sitting out," he said to me, "while you and my wife played your half game of croquet. Then it struck me that it was not so warm as I had supposed, because quite suddenly I shivered. And shivering, I looked up. But I did not see you and her playing croquet at all. I saw something which had no relation to you and her. At least, I hope not. Now, the angler lands his fish, the stalker kills his stag, and the speaker holds his audience. And as the fish is gaffed and the stag is shot, so were we held. There was no getting away till he had finished with us. You all know the croquet lawn," he said, "and how it is bounded all around by a flower border with a brick wall behind it, through which, you will remember, there is only one gate. Well, I looked up and saw that the lawn, I could for one moment see it was still a lawn, was shrinking, and the walls closing in upon it. As they closed in too, they grew higher, and simultaneously the light began to fade and be sucked from the sky, till it grew quite dark overhead, and only a glimmer of light came in through the gate. There was, as I told you, a dahlia in flower that day, and as this dreadful darkness and bewilderment came over me, I remember that my eyes sought it in a kind of despair, holding on, as it were, to any familiar object. But it was no longer a dahlia, and for the red of its petals I only saw the red of some feeble firelight. And at that moment the hallucination was complete. I was no longer sitting on the lawn watching croquet, but I was in a low-roofed room, something like a cattle shed, but round. Close above my head, though I was sitting down, ran rafters from wall to wall. It was nearly dark, but little light came in from the door opposite me, which seemed to lead into a passage that communicated with the exterior of the place. Little, however, of the wholesome air came into this dreadful den. The atmosphere was oppressive and foul, beyond all telling. It was as if for years it had been the place of some human menagerie, and for those years it had been uncleaned and unsweetened by the winds of heaven. Yet that oppressiveness was nothing to the awful horror of the place from the view of the spirit. Some dreadful atmosphere of crime and abomination dwelt heavy in it. Its denizens, whoever they were scarce human, so it seemed to me, and though men and women were akin more to the beasts of the field. And in addition, there was present to me some sense of the weight of years, I had been taken and thrust down into some epoch of dim antiquity. He paused a moment, and the fire on the hearth leaped up for a second and then died down again. But in that gleam, I saw all the faces were turned to Everard, and that all wore some look of dreadful expectancy. Certainly I felt it myself, and waited in sort of a shrinking horror for what was coming.
You know, I really do enjoy this. I just love the atmosphere of it. I think it really grips you. I really like it. Good work, Tony. I'm almost wishing that it was just one long story, so I didn't have to keep stopping and thinking, oh, I want to know what happens next. But anyway, great work, Tony. Thanks for reading that out. Let's move on, because now it's time for this. This episode's recommendation is a fantastic new book by a man by the name of Jack Andrews. Now, if you've never heard of Jack Andrews, he's a fantastic author. He's written a phenomenal book. It's called Thursday Night's All Right, and it is possibly the funniest book I or anyone have ever read. It's only available on Kindle, on Amazon. If you're a Kindle Unlimited subscriber, you'll get it for free. If not, it's only $3, and it really is the funniest novel ever written. And that's not just me saying that, that's other people. I don't know who those other people are, but you know, they'd say that probably if they read the book. His name's Jack Andrews, like I say. Apparently he's incredibly handsome, incredibly funny, and a wonderful writer. And he's written this book about a 20-something bloke who spends a lot of time drinking, going out, having fun. I won't spoil the story for you, but it's fantastic. So yeah, get out there, get a copy of Thursday Night's All Right by Jack Andrews. I'll put the link in the show notes and on Facebook. It's a great book by Jack Andrews called Thursday Night's All Right. And I'll be plugging it again in the next episode. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. It was so great chatting to Scott again. I love having him on the show, and it's so much fun. It's so good catching up with an old friend. And he was there from about the third or fourth episode of the show, and it's so good that he's still listening, or at least he says he does, and that's good enough for me. I also want to say thanks, of course, to Bob Baker, Paula Horwood, and Tony Dixon, and anyone else who's been in touch. Now, if you want to get in touch, please, please do. I love hearing from you. Of course, you probably want to get in touch with me and tell me how much you enjoyed Thursday Night's All Right by Jack Andrews, only available on Kindle on Amazon. If you want to get in touch, my email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com, and the website is totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry Christmas.
Next to me in the blackness lay my oiled blue steel beauty. The greatest Christmas gift I had ever received or would ever receive. Gradually, I drifted off to sleep, pranging ducks on the wing and getting off spectacular hip shots.